still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Done with it. If you guys want me to live stream to YouTube, you guys got to figure it out. I'm done. I'm done messing with that thing. I don't know what's going on with it. So we're just recording. Let me get my thing for welcome to Mountain Baptist Church. Or welcome back. Let's get the soul winning that we had today. And this week. So what did we have earlier this week? I know, Brother Richie, you had one on Thursday or something like that. And then Tuesday, did we have any Tuesday? No Tuesday. And then we had four today. Is there any others that I'm missing? So that'd be five for the week. So keep up the good work with the soul winning. So, and then just on the announcement sheet, don't forget about the soul winning time on Tuesday that Brother Charles leads up. So get on the WhatsApp there for that. We have our Bible memory. So 2 Timothy chapter 3 is our memory chapter for the month. And then we have 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth is our memory verse for this week. And so a shorter one, but try to get that memorized and then get your piece of candy. And then upcoming events, we have the men's prayer meeting. That'll be here before you know it. That's also my birthday. So bring in the birthday right. Have a men's prayer meeting. I don't think we can go play mini golf, though. I'm pretty sure that place is closed. So we have that coming up. And then February 6th is the women's prayer meeting, so that next Saturday with that. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that's going on. Just be praying for those that are pregnant or my wife or anybody else that might be pregnant in our church that we don't know about. You never know. It could happen at any moment, guys. No, I'm just kidding. but be in prayer for that. Obviously, Holly's in her third trimester, so coming down to the end of that. So just be in prayer for her, for the baby, and all that stuff that's going on there. As far as that, I can't think of anything else as far as announcements, but I think it's something I'll let you know. Brother Anthony's going to be reading Jeremiah chapter 36 for us. And then, but first, before that, Brother Dave's going to be doing one more song.
All right, turn in your songbooks to song 322. Song 322, we'll sing Living for Jesus. Song 322. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading, and give him my all. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I owe no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus wherever I am, doing each duty in his holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I owe no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. Life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile. Seeking the lost ones, he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I owe no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
All right, take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter number 36. Brother Anthony will read that for us.
Jeremiah chapter 36. Bible reads, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah and Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from, then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto them, upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou, and read in the roll, which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord, and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Deliah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hanani, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shemaliah, and the son of Cushai, unto Baruch, saying, Take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. And so Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, Sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass when they had heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and other, and said unto Baruch, What we will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, Tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, He pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, Go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went into the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiah, the son of Hamaliah, and Sariah, the son of Azariel, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, Take thee again another roll, and write it in all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast burned this roll, saying, Why hast thou written therein, saying, The king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, He shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out into the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. Then took Jeremiah another roll, and he gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and they were added besides unto them many like words. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time we can gather back again and hear your word preached. Thank you for the salvations this afternoon. I pray, God, that you would just bless this service this afternoon and be with Pastor Robinson as he delivers the message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. If you're there in Jeremiah chapter 36, and we're continuing our series, the prophet series, and this is part two of Jeremiah. And actually, I had, this is kind of a different sermon than what I had where I was doing the other parts there. And I just wanted to go through kind of the timeline of what's going on in the book of Jeremiah. I feel like that's one of the things that if you understand what's going on or who these kings are that he's talking to and when this is taking place, it'll help you understand when you're reading through the book of Jeremiah, because sometimes it'll be talking about Jehoiakim, and then it'll go to Zedekiah. Then it'll go back to Jehoiakim, and then it'll go to Zedekiah. And you have to understand that those are two different kings at two different times. I mean, not that far away from each other, but just to know the progression of what's going on from Josiah down to when they're in captivity and what's going on there. And so this is probably just going to be a three-part on Jeremiah, meaning that the first sermon was more so about who Jeremiah was, what kind of person was he, what kind of prophet was he. This is more so getting into a timeline of the book of Jeremiah and just what, you know, who's he talking to, who's Jehoiakim, who's Zedekiah, who's Gedaliah, and just some other things, Ishmael, and we're going to get into that as well. But and then the next sermon is going to be more so about some of the prophecies that can come out of Jeremiah and just things like that, some of the cool prophecies that come out of that, and I'll probably just cap it off that way. So, but you see here in Jeremiah 36, you're dealing with Jehoiakim, okay? Jehoiakim is the son of Josiah, and he's the one that reigned after Josiah. This is a famous passage on the fact of cutting up God's word. And I've heard this preached a lot of times dealing with the King James Bible and inspiration, dealing with the fact that what was cut up was the first draft, you know, it was the first copy. And they always say the originals, you know, that's the only thing that's inspired. Everything else after that is just a copy. It's like, well, the original Jeremiah book, you know, because if you remember at the very beginning of that chapter there, what was written? What did Baruch write? He wrote in verse 2 there, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. Okay, so dealing with all that stuff that if you're reading through here about all these condemnations and everything else, you think of Jeremiah 46 on is all just the different nations as far as what God is prophesying against them. And so he basically, Baruch was the scribe, or Baruch, however you want to say it. I've heard it both ways, doesn't matter. But he's just the scribe, and he's writing down what Jeremiah said, and basically they cut it with a penknife and throw it into the hearth. And it's funny because that's what people want to do today with God's word. They just want to cut it up, throw it into the hearth, but it's like it doesn't go away. Just so you know, you can keep trying to do that. Keep trying to cut it up. Keep trying to throw it into the fire, but it's going to still keep coming back. This also shows you, too, that it's not about the originals, right? He just told, he's like, Baruch, just write again what you had before. Guess what? That's not the original, okay? So the original was burnt, like, as soon as it was written, pretty much. And so it just shows you the stupidity of that argument of, like, well, the original that was penned down, the moment he said it to Jeremiah, he was recalling what he had already preached as it was. Right? Jeremiah was literally recalling everything that God had told him, and he's just penning it down now. And it wasn't even Jeremiah that wrote it. It was another man that wrote it. And so it just shows you that it's by the mouth of Jeremiah, obviously through the Holy Ghost, but another man's the one that wrote it down. And it's really this. It's God's word. I don't care who wrote it down. And I don't care what copy of it it is. It's still inspired. Now, that's a commercial break. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. I love that passage. That's why I had that read. But it's also dealing with Jehoiakim and kind of showing you what kind of man Jehoiakim was as a king. Obviously, was not a good king. But Jeremiah 1, verse 1 here, just to recap, when did Jeremiah preach? Or when was the word of the Lord coming unto him? Verse 1, it says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Babylon, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Now, what if you just understand this timeline, Josiah, Jehoiakim reigns for 11 years. And then Jerusalem is taken captive. And Jehoiakim, or Jeconiah, which is Jehoiakim's son, he's taken captive. Okay? He's taken captive. And I'm going to get into this. I'm just trying to lay it out real simple for you. Josiah, Jehoiakim, Jehoiakim's son gets taken captive. They set up Jehoiakim's brother, Zedekiah, to reign. And both of them reign for 11 years. So Jehoiakim reigns for 11 years. The city's taken captive, and his son's taken out of the way. And Zedekiah, Jehoiakim's brother, reigns in his stead for 11 years. Then he rebels. He rebels against Babylon. And at this point, 11 years into the captivity, I'm sorry, it'd be 11 years into the captivity, or 11 months, or 11 years, 3 months, if you want to be exact. But into the captivity, that's when the temple was burned and the city was completely annihilated. Okay? So at the end of Jehoiakim's reign, when they take captive like Daniel and all the mighty men and all that stuff, at that point the city was not completely destroyed. Okay, it wasn't until Zedekiah was reigning, and at the end of his reign, he was taken captive. And then we're going to see that what happens to Zedekiah. Then after Zedekiah, they set up Gedaliah, okay, to be governor. And then there's this coup where Ishmael. Not Ishmael of Abraham, but a different Ishmael, comes in and murders Gedaliah, the governor. And then another man has to come in and basically throw out Ishmael. And then they flee into Egypt. So Johanan is like the captain of this army that throws out Ishmael. Then they flee into Egypt. And because they flee into Egypt, God is like, I'm done with all of you. It's just like you get taken out more, you get taken out even more because they keep disobeying, okay? So it's this progression, and when they flee into Egypt, it's like you're all going to die that went to Egypt except for this very small amount of people. So when you get to Ezra and Nehemiah, you're picking up where that left off pretty much. You know, obviously 70 years after the first, when Jehoiakim, after Jehoiakim, 70 years after that is where you pick up with Ezra and Nehemiah, where they're rebuilding the temple and they're rebuilding the city and the wall and all that. And you have to understand that people were just completely annihilated. I mean, you're talking about people that remained in Judah, right? Because obviously Daniel was over in Babylon, and a lot of the mighty men were over in Babylon. And a lot of those people came back from Babylon. But you're really dealing with Jeremiah here. What's going on in Jerusalem? What's going on in Jerusalem during the captivity? You know, when you get into Zedekiah and Gedaliah and Ishmael and that whole thing. So I just kind of want to explain that, because when you're reading through Jeremiah, you're like, what is going on? Because sometimes it'll go back and it'll be talking about Zedekiah. You'd be like Jehoiakim, Zedekiah, and then it'll be back to Jehoiakim. Then it'll go to Zedekiah again. And if you understand that Jehoiakim's first, Zedekiah is after that. Jehoiakim, it hasn't been taken captive yet. So when Jehoiakim's reigning, Jerusalem hasn't been taken captive. Zedekiah, when he's reigning, he's basically a placeholder that the king of Babylon put in as king. And then he rebels against the king of Babylon, and it gets taken out on him. Okay, so let's go through this. I want to give that breakdown when it comes to Jeremiah here. And so go to 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23, you'll see this clear progression of Josiah, Jehoiakim, and Jeconiah. Actually, Jeconiah, or Coniah, or Jehoahaz, or Shalom. He's got a lot of names. This guy actually has a happy ending. So out of all these sons of Josiah, he's the one that has a happy ending. And it's interesting because he's the one that's mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. When you deal with Josiah, and it says in Jeconias and his brethren that were carried away captive in the Babylon. Jehoiakim's not mentioned. Zedekiah is not mentioned. You know, it's Jeconiah that's mentioned. Okay. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 28, now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went against him and slew him at Megiddo when he had seen him, and his servants carried him in a chariot, dead from Megiddo, and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people in the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's stead. So we see here that, you know, you probably remember the story of Josiah. We went through the kings. But Josiah was going after Pharaoh Necho, and Pharaoh Necho was like, God told me to do this. What are you doing? Don't do it. And he was getting into a battle he shouldn't have got into, and Josiah ends up dying from it. And Jehoahaz is anointed to be king in his father's stead. I'm sorry, Jehoahaz is not Jehoiakim, or Jehoiakim, okay? This is a different person, okay? So Jehoahaz, it says, was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem, okay? So Josiah dies, Jehoahaz is set up to be king, they anoint him, right? The people anoint him. It says, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. And Pharaoh Necho put him in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem. Okay, so Pharaoh Necho comes in and says, no, that's not who's going to reign in Jerusalem. And it says he put the land to tribute, 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. And Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, okay, and took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. And Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zebudah, the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. Okay, so he's not good either. So you had Jehoahaz, and if you want to really dig into the sons of Josiah, go to First Chronicles chapter 3. You can imagine why in the New Testament when you're dealing with the genealogy of Jesus, it says Jechonias and his brethren, because his uncles and his brothers and all that, there's just a lot going on with these. It's not like it's just like father, son, father, son, father, son, right? You're dealing with brothers that are going here. And Jeconiah is the son of these brothers, but it will call Zedekiah his brother, okay? And you'll see that sometimes where like Laban, my brother, you know, dealing with Jacob, and Laban is his uncle. And so sometimes the uncle will be called a brother, because it's your parents' brother, you know, or one of your parents' brother. But in 1 Chronicles 3 and verse 15, it says, the sons of Josiah were the firstborn, Johanan, the second, Jehoiakim, the third, Zedekiah, the fourth, Shalom. The sons of Jehoiakim, Jeconiah, his son, and Zedekiah's son. So there's two Zedekiahs, okay? Now, the Zedekiah that you're seeing in Jeremiah is not Jehoiakim's son. It's Jehoiakim's brother, okay? And go to Jeremiah chapter 22, and I want to show you that Shalom, that you see that fourth child there, that the people set up to be king, I believe that's Jehoahaz, okay? That Shalom is Jehoahaz, and Pharaoh Necho took Jehoiakim and made him king instead of Shalom, and then when Jehoiakim dies, they take Jeconiah, his son, captive, and they put Zedekiah. So literally you have three of Josiah's sons reigning at some point, okay? But just to prove to you Shalom is the one that was Jehoahaz, look at Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 11. For thus saith the Lord, touching Shalom, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which reigned instead of Josiah his father, which went forth out of this place, he shall not return thither any more, but he shall die in the place whither they have led him captive, and shall see this land no more. Now, when you look at 2 Kings, it's talking about how he went to Egypt and he died there, okay? And so Shalom is that same person that reigned in the stead of his father, meaning they anointed him. The people anointed him. He reigned for 3 months, but Pharaoh Necho came in and said, no, not you. You're going to be taken captive, and we're going to set up Jehoiakim instead, okay? And I think we might have all that on here with our chart that we got here. We have Jehoahaz, so reigns for 3 months after Josiah. That is Shalom, or the youngest son, if you will, of Josiah. That's who the people chose, okay? Then Pharaoh Necho comes in and says, no, I want Jehoiakim, or Eliakim, but he renamed him Jehoiakim. And then when the captivity happens, when Babylon, the siege, it's besieged, as soon as Jehoiakim dies, it's besieged, and Jehoiakim, or Jeconiah, or Coniah, it says in other places, this man only reigns for 3 months and 10 days, if you want to be really technical, okay? And he's taken captive into Babylon, okay? And they set up Zedekiah. So it's like all these brothers here. And Jeconiah is the only one that's not the brothers of, or the sons of Josiah. He's actually the grandson of Josiah. So I know it kind of gets confusing there, but just so you know who you're dealing with when you're reading these passages and you see stuff talked about Coniah, you're like, well, who's Coniah? It's Jeconiah. That's Jehoiakim's son, okay? And I know these names, you see Jehoiakim, Jehoiakim, it's like really similar and all that. But anyway, let's keep going here with this timeline. So you could probably just forget about Jehoahaz and it would be fine, right? But, just so you know that Josiah, they set up Jehoahaz or Shalom. They set him up to be king. That's who the people wanted. Pharaoh Necho came in and said, no, he's going to be taken captive into Egypt. We're going to set up Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim reigns for 11 years, and as soon as he dies, and Jeconiah, his son, starts reigning for 3 months, that's when Jerusalem's taken captive. That starts off that 70-year period of captivity. And then Zedekiah is set up by the king of Babylon. He reigns for 11 years, and he rebels. And then Jerusalem is not just taken captive, it's completely annihilated. And Zedekiah is taken out, or his eyes are put out anyway, and all his sons are killed. And then they set up Gedaliah, and then there's this whole like mess going on with Gedaliah, and people aren't happy that he was set up to be governor. They kill him, they murder him, and then they all get scared because of that, because they murdered the king of Babylon's man, and they're like, let's go flee to Egypt. And Jeremiah's like, don't go, and they go anyway. That's pretty much how, the story of Jeremiah ends. And they end up in Egypt and God pronouncing judgment on them and Egypt, okay? So, well, let's go through this. So, first of all, just to show you that, go to Jeremiah chapter 25, that this 70-year captivity happens after Jehoiakim, dies and Jeconiah starts reigning. Verse 9, so Jeremiah 25, verse 9. And this is definitely a Bible study, okay? I don't think anybody will deny this. This is a Bible study, okay? When we're dealing with these prophets, I hope this helps you understand this book, at least understand who these kings are, where they are in the timeline, okay? In Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 9, it says, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations, and will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to their works of their own hands. So you see that this is the prophecy saying that, hey, you're going to be taken captive 70 years by Babylon, but after 70 years are accomplished, I'm going to punish Babylon. And all the words that I spoke against Babylon, which is, by the way, Jeremiah 50 and 51, if you want to see that, Jeremiah 50 and 51 is all about Babylon being destroyed, okay, and the judgment coming upon Babylon. And obviously that couples with the Babylon that's in the future and how that's going to be destroyed. go to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. And Daniel is during the captivity. And we're going to get to Daniel after Ezekiel. Daniel's during the captivity, and he actually outlives the captivity. But Daniel 1 and verse 1, it tells you when this takes place. Okay. So Daniel, when he was taken captive to go into Babylon, it was not after Zedekiah was taken out. It was after Jehoiakim was taken out. That's when the 70 years started. And I just want to make that point because I think sometimes you're like, well, when did it start? Was it when the temple was destroyed? No. The 70-year captivity started with Jehoiakim. 11 years into the captivity, the temple was destroyed and all the stuff that was, you know, all the stuff in the city, okay? So it's not like it reset or that's when it started. No, it started with Jehoiakim, or after Jehoiakim there. In verse 1 there, it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Okay, so this is where Daniel comes in with his friends, and they understood knowledge and science and all that. Okay, and so it's basically stating that they brought in captive all these mighty men, all the young men, and they brought all the vessels in from the house of the Lord. That was after Jehoiakim. When you get into Zedekiah, that's already happened. There's just a remnant that's left back at Jerusalem. He left some of the, basically, not the noble people, okay? It's just kind of the refuge that's left back there. And Jeremiah's still there, okay? And basically, we see what starts off Daniel. But Daniel 9 is where he brings the remembrance to 70 years, okay? So Daniel 9 is all about this prayer saying, Lord, you know, remember the promise that after 70 years, right? Because in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2, it says in the first year of his reign, talking about Darius, so we're talking about after Babylon was taken out, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So he's coming at the end of that. He said, you know, it's been 70 years, and he's praying that the Lord will keep his end of the deal, you know, that he's going to actually do that. And he already kept his end of the deal that he's going to take out Babylon. And obviously, you get into Ezra, Nehemiah, which also would be coupled with Haggai and Zechariah and all that as far as when they're rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the city, and they're coming back in, they're doing the sacrifices again at Jerusalem. Now, going back to Jeremiah chapter 36, Jeremiah chapter 36, just to show you a little bit about Jehoiakim, I know we kind of already hit on that a little bit, but like I said, Jehoiakim, if you think about like a lot of these prophecies where he's prophesying, you know, like in Jeremiah 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right? Where he's saying, you need to come back to God. You need to do this because you're going to be taken captive. All these stories are going on during Jehoiakim's reign. Okay? And this is no different, right? Because we're dealing with in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim reigns for 11 years before it's taken out. Okay, now, they start besieging it, obviously, around that time. But notice that he writes this roll, or basically writes down all his words in this roll. So it's basically the book of Jeremiah, minus what's going on in this chapter. Obviously, that'd be crazy, right? You're like, you start writing what they're going to do, right? Yeah, I already knew that you were going to do that. I wrote it down. So obviously he wrote the extra stuff in there after, you know, they had to rewrite it or whatever. But notice it says in verse 23, it says, and it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. Now, this is the complete contrast of what Josiah did when he heard the word of the Lord. Okay? So you see those two camps right there, right? Josiah, when he when they found the book of the word of the Lord, right, he ran his clothes. And he was in distress, and he's like, we need to figure out what we need to do. And it's just like the complete opposite. They cut it up, threw it in the fire, and they weren't afraid. They didn't rent their garments. And you wonder why they were actually taken captive. It's interesting, though, because the leaders were that way. But when they were reading this to the other people, they were like afraid, and they, you know, they were hearing it. But the wicked leaders would not bend. And they were full of pride. No, it's not going to happen. And you had false prophets saying, no, it's not going to be 70 years. It's going to be 2 years. And just these different things that are going on and just speaking lies about, no, it's going to be peace. He's not going to take it out. And Jeremiah's over here like, no, you're going to be taken out. It's going to be 70 years of captivity. You better get comfortable in your captivity. And they didn't like it. Okay? They didn't like what they were hearing. And in that story, they just are gnashing on God's word physically with a penknife, just cutting it up. And people just want to do that today. They just want to cut up God's word and throw it in the fire. But you know what? You just threw paper and ink into the fire, but God's word is still there. It's still there. You can take this Bible right here and throw it in the fire, but guess what? I still have a lot of God's word on my heart right now. So you're going to have to kill me. But you know what? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So good luck cutting up all of God's word and getting rid of it, because you're going to have to destroy the whole heaven and earth before that ever happens. Because one jot or one tittle shall fail from heaven and earth shall pass, so one jot or one tittle shall fail from the law. And so they can try, but it's just funny. It's just like, all right, make another copy of that. And there, we still have the book of Jeremiah today. We still have the story. You know, they didn't succeed in actually getting rid of God's word. And they never will succeed, because his word will endure forever. Now, go to 2 Kings chapter 24. And like I said, Jeconiah, so we're kind of dealing with Jehoiakim there as far as what kind of man he was. Obviously, not a man of integrity. He allowed it to be burned. Now, he wasn't the one that threw it into the hearth, but it gives the backstory. It says they were beseeching the king and saying, don't let it be burned, and he wouldn't hear it and just let him throw it into the fire. And so that's the kind of man you're dealing with Jehoiakim. But Jeconiah, you don't really hear much about what he did, because he was just taken captive. You know, the moment that they were setting him up to be king. Notice what it says in 2 Kings chapter 24 and verse 15. And he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land, those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen, and smiths, and 1,000, all that were strong and apt for war. Even them the king of Babylon brought captives to Babylon. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Okay, so this is where you see the transfer of power here, where he's stating, okay, Jeconiah, no, you're coming with me back to Babylon. But not only that, all that were strong and apt for war, right? This is the captivity. I mean, he's taking everyone that is a noble, that, you know, and you think of even Daniel, right? Anybody that was intelligent, right, in science and knew any type of understanding or anything like that, they wanted all of them to come to Babylon, and they wanted to teach them in their ways and assimilate them, essentially, is what their whole mission was. Now, but he sets up Zedekiah. It was Mattaniah to begin with, but then he changed his name to Zedekiah. But you see that it's very clear. It's Jeconiah's father's brother, okay? And another place it'll say, you know, Jehoiakim's or Jeconiah's brother. But again, a lot of times uncle can be brother. Just like Jacob and Laban are called brothers. You know, my brother, Laban or whatever. You know, that's fine. It, you know, that's the way that it works. But it's clearly his uncle, okay? So Jeremiah chapter, go to Jeremiah chapter 52, because we'll see there's a happy ending for Jeconiah. So we just kind of see that about him. He's just like, okay, he starts reigning, he reigns for like 3 months, and he's carried away with everybody else. Now, he didn't have the greatest, first portion of this captivity, I'll say, okay, because he was in prison that whole time. But in the end, he ends up, coming out on top. So in verse 31, it says, and it came to pass in the 7th and 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. So, 37 years of being in prison, that sucks. But keep reading there. It says, in the 12th month, in the 5th and 20th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison. So if you know the story of Daniel, right, you have Nebuchadnezzar, and then the next king you see is Belshazzar. Okay, and Belshazzar is the king that ends up dying, and that's when the kingdom's taken out. But Nebuchadnezzar's son would be evil Merodach. Okay, and this king, is between those. Okay, so this is kind of giving you insight a little bit of what happened between, Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, the fall of the kingdom, right? Because Nebuchadnezzar is like the peak. He's the head of gold. That was the peak of the kingdom. And then Belshazzar is the end of it. But you have evil Merodach in the first year of his reign. He lifts up Jehoiakim. And it also shows you how long Nebuchadnezzar would have been reigning too, right? As far as 37 years into the captivity, obviously there's a new king in Babylon. And it says, and spake kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did a continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. And for his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon every day, a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life. Now, this is a great picture of the rapture, and I've already preached on that, dealing with the timeline of the rapture and how this fits perfectly with the 1335 days of from the beginning of the 70th week into when we're caught up together in the clouds. I mean, his prison garments were changed. He's sitting at the table with the king. He's given food, all this stuff, and how you can correlate that with what happens when we're going to be raptured up. But you see that Zedekiah has a happy ending. Now, let's get into Zedekiah, because he doesn't have a happy ending, okay? Now, obviously, what happens, the happy ending with Jeconiah, that's happening way after all the stuff happened with Jehoiakim and Zedekiah, okay? Now, Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, has been put into power by the king of Babylon. Go to 2 Kings chapter 24 and verse 18. 2 Kings 24 and verse 18. And I know we kind of hit on this with the kings. I can't remember exactly how in-depth we went into this. But I know one thing. I did not get into what happens after Zedekiah. Okay? I know I didn't touch on that. But Zedekiah, so you had Jehoiakim, Jeconiah, or Jehoiakim, who's taken captive. Then you get into Zedekiah. It says in verse 18, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libnah. And he did that which was right, or which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Okay, now go to 2 Kings chapter 25. 2 Kings chapter 25, and we'll see where he rebels and what the consequence for that is. So in 2 Kings chapter 25, and this would be 11 years into the captivity, right? Because he is reigning in Jerusalem, but he's under captivity. It's kind of like Herod the king was king of Judea, but he was under a governor. He was under Roman authority, okay? So in verse 1 here it says, and it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem and pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about, and the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land, and the city was broken up, And all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook them in the plains of Jericho. And all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. So that's an ending that you don't want to have. They literally, the last thing that Zedekiah saw with his eyes was his sons being killed by the king of Babylon. Now, what's interesting about this story, okay, and you can keep reading there because it talks about the fact that he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house, and he break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. So that's when that happens, okay? If you keep reading there in 2 Kings, that's after Zedekiah messed up. But what's interesting about this is that Jeremiah warned Zedekiah. He warned Jehoiakim. He warned all these kings, okay? And the key theme that keeps going on throughout Jeremiah is don't flee. Don't flee. Trust in the Lord, and you'll be okay. Okay, go to Jeremiah chapter 38. And you can go into all this where he's like in this pit, and then he's brought into the inner court. You know, some of the men rescue him out of that pit. He gets into the inner court, and then Zedekiah comes to him, and Jeremiah's like, you know, why are you coming to me? You know, all this stuff. And he's secretly coming to him because he knows Jeremiah knows the truth. He knows what's really going on. But the people want to kill him, and they're, you know, all this stuff that's going on in Jeremiah's day. And in chapter 38, and verse 17, it says, "Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall the city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand." So even after he rebelled and they're besieging, he's like, just go out to them. Just go out to them, and everything will be fine. The city won't be burned, and you and your house will be okay. You'll be safe. But what did he do? He fled. He fled, and they caught him in Jericho, right? And they took him, they killed all of his sons, they put out his eyes, they burned the house of the Lord, and then they destroyed the wall around Jerusalem. But Jeremiah is like, don't do that. And he's just warning him. And what does he do? He flees. Because he doesn't listen to God. And obviously it takes faith to do that, right? You rebel against a king that's obviously a force to be reckoned with. And then think, okay, I'm just going to go out there and apologize. Yeah, that's going to work out well. And if he just would have listened, guaranteed he would have been fine. Because the Lord is saying it's going to be so. So after Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was burned, Jeremiah was given leave to do whatever he wants. Okay, go to Jeremiah chapter 39. Jeremiah chapter 39 and verse 11. So Jeremiah wins in this whole situation, right? He's just serving the Lord, and, you know, if you serve the Lord, he'll take care of you. Whatever's going on around you, the whole country's getting burned to the ground. Jeremiah is just like, I'm going to serve the Lord, and everything gets, he gets land. And notice what happens here when they're taking out the city and all this stuff. What happens to Jeremiah? Verse 11. It says, "Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, Take him and look well to him, and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee." So the king's just like, look well to him, and whatever he says to you, do it. You know, do whatever he says he wants you to do unto him. So, you know, that's how Jeremiah is treated by the enemy, because he's serving the Lord. And go to Jeremiah chapter 40 and verse 4. He's just given a choice. He's like, you want to stay here? Stay here. You want to come with me? Come with me. Whatever you want to do. And it's just awesome to see this, you know, because Jeremiah was treated very poorly by his own countrymen. But it's also interesting because he ends up staying. You would imagine, okay, I can only imagine it. If my countrymen were treating me like that, and I was just trying to look out for them, I'd be like, later, suckers, you know, I'm going to Babylon, you know. They're treating me. I mean, think about it. The king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan's like, whatever you want to do, you know, what do you want me to do for you? I'll do it for you. You want to come with me? You want to stay here? Who would you want to stay with? The guys that put you into the pit? You know? And now, go to Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 4 there, just to show you that. It says, and now, behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me into Babylon, come, and I will look well unto thee. But if it seem good, or if it seem ill unto thee to come with me into Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee. Whither it seemeth good and convenient for thee to go, thither go. I mean, that is, you know, service right there. It's just like, the whole land's open to you, Jeremiah, wherever you want to go, whatever you want to do. You know, come with me, I'll see that you're treated well. I mean, part of you just be like, Jeremiah, why didn't you just go with them, right? Be like, you've done enough. You know, you're trying with these people. They just won't listen to you. Jehoiakim wouldn't listen to you. Zedekiah wouldn't listen to you. And guess what's going to happen? The next people aren't going to listen to you. And now, I'm glad he stayed, obviously, and I'm sure that's probably what the Lord wanted him to do, is to stay there and try to be the voice of reason in that country. But it really shows you the compassion of Jeremiah for his people. And it really gives you the gravity of why he was so, why he wrote the Book of Lamentations. You know, the Book of Lamentations is all about the fact of how much sorrow it gave him to see his country get destroyed. And you can tell that he just would not give up on them. He would just keep going. He's just like, I'm going to keep, you know, being here, being a light unto them. And normal people, you know, would be like, I'm out. I'm peace. I'm out, guys. I mean, Babylon's treating me well. And God said, go, you know, to being captive, you know, buy houses and live there and, you know, pray for the peace of the city that you're in. You know, everything in me would be like, I'm going to Babylon. You guys can go deal with this mess. But he stays. Now, go to 2 Kings chapter 25, 2 Kings chapter 25, and verse 22. So, remember, you had Jehoiakim, 11 years. Captivity starts at the end of that. Then they set up Zedekiah to be king. Zedekiah rebels after 11 years. He's taken out, and, you know, everything's just completely annihilated, okay? So after Jehoiakim and the first, you know, when the captivity starts, it's not that bad. It's not like everything's just annihilated. It's just everybody's been taken out. Like anybody that's useful, it's like the smiths, the carpenters, everybody's just like, we're taking you to Babylon. And everybody else is just like, you know, what do we do? But then after Zedekiah's taken out, he sets up Gedaliah. Now, go to verse 22 there. So 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 22. And it says, as for the people that remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left, even over them, he made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, ruler. Okay, so this is probably the guy you don't hear of too much, okay, is Gedaliah. Okay, he was set up after Zedekiah. Now, go to Jeremiah chapter 21. Jeremiah chapter 21. Because there's going to be this insurrection that happens here with Gedaliah. So Gedaliah is not rebelling. Gedaliah is not against the king of Babylon. He's, you know, like Jehoiakim obviously rebelled against, you know, he was fighting against Babylon. Zedekiah was fighting against Babylon. In this case, it comes from within. Okay, Gedaliah is set up. He's not rebelling against Babylon, but he ends up getting killed. And so in Jeremiah chapter 41, verse 1, it says, now it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seed royal, and the princes of the king, even 10 men with him, came unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and there they did eat bread together in Mizpah. So we see that this Ishmael is of the seed royal, so he's of the family of the kings. Okay, I don't know what relation if he's just like a cousin, or if he's, you know, who knows what son. Maybe he's the son of one of the other brethren of of Josiah or something like that. I don't know. So he's just basically saying he's the seed royal of the princes of the king. So he's obviously in that line where he could be a ruler, right? And you can imagine that basically the king of Babylon didn't set up someone that was of the lineage, okay? So you can imagine maybe the motivation, not obviously not condoning this, but the motivation for him to basically take out Gedaliah, because Gedaliah was the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan. So we're not dealing with like the line of David here ruling, okay? Now it says, and the prince is the king, and they went to Mizpah. And verse 2 there, it says, then arose Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men that were with him, and smote Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with a sword, and slew him, whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. Ishmael also slew all the Jews that were with him, even with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Chaldeans that were found there, and the men of war. So he just slaughtered everybody. Now, if you kept reading that story, you also see that that other people come to like do sacrifices and all this other stuff, and he just kills all of them. I mean, he's just slaying people, okay? So Ishmael is just doing all kinds of havoc with the system there. And what you have then, after that happens, okay, you notice in verse 11, so Jeremiah chapter 41, verse 11, you have this man named Johanan, okay? Notice what it says. But when Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, heard of the evil that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had done, then they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and found him by the great waters that are in Gibeon. Now it came to pass that when all the people which were with Ishmael saw Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, then they were glad. So all the people that Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah cast about and returned and went unto Johanan, the son of Kareah. So they basically saw Johanan, and they're like, oh man, we're going with him. So apparently this guy was a good leader or something like this. Kind of like Jehu, where they're coming at Jehu. And he's like, is it peace? He said, what do I have to do with peace? Get thee behind me. And they just start following with him, right? So Johanan, they see Johanan's leading this charge. And everybody that went with Ishmael, they're like, nope, we're not going with you anymore. We're going with him. And it says in verse 15, but Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, escaped from Johanan with 8 men and went to the Ammonites. So he just basically fled the scene, okay? And that's the last you hear of Ishmael, okay? So get the status of what's going on here, okay? You're in Jerusalem, and he sets up Gedaliah. So he already set up Zedekiah, who rebelled against them. Then he sets up Gedaliah, and then there's this coup that happens, and they just murder him, okay? So the state of Jerusalem is Babylon's going to be angry. Babylon's going to be angry about what happened, that all these people were just murdered, because it wasn't just Jews, it was Chaldeans too, right? It talked about him killing Chaldeans that were there too. And so they're pretty much just afraid of what's going to happen to them after this whole mess, okay? So they come to Jeremiah, and they're asking counsel of Jeremiah, okay? Go to Jeremiah chapter 42. In verse 1, Jeremiah chapter 42 and verse 1, it says, then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. So they're basically just saying, just show us what God wants us to do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Now, this is a preacher right here. He's like, whatever he says to me, I'm going to say to you. I'm not going to keep anything back. And this is just showing you the type of man Jeremiah. If I was Jeremiah, I'd be in Babylon, okay? I don't know. Maybe I would. Maybe I would actually care. I don't know. But you know what? I can imagine Jeremiah's like, man, I just wish I would have went when the Jews are at him at this point. You know, all this garbage I've had to deal with. But no, he's like, no, I'll do it. I'll pray for you, and I won't keep anything back. Whatever he says to me, I'm going to tell you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. So I want you to think about it. They're just like, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Whatever it says, good or bad, we're going to do it. We're going to obey. And then keep reading. Verse 7, it says, and it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present you your supplications before him. If you will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger or bread, and there will we dwell. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord, Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So it's very clear what he's saying to do. Stay where you're at. Stay where you're at, and I will take care of you. I will save you. I'll deliver you out of the king of Babylon's hands. But do not go to Egypt. Just constantly. I mean, when you read through the Old Testament, don't you see a theme that keeps going on here? Don't go back to Egypt. Just constantly, oh, Egypt. Egypt will save us. Egypt, Egypt, Egypt. And he's saying, don't do it, or you'll be destroyed. And remember what they told Jeremiah. They're like, whatever you say, whatever the Lord says, and we're beseeching you. And this is, I mean, you can imagine how Jeremiah is just like beating his head against the wall. It doesn't matter what I say to him. They keep saying that they're going to do what I say to him, and then they don't do it. And you can almost imagine what God feels like when he keeps telling you to do something, and you're just like, I'm going to do it, Lord. Just tell me what you want me to do. And then you hear the news, you're like, I don't want to do that. Whatever it is, Lord, I'll do it. And then he tells you what to do, and you're like, no, no. I would have done it if it was something I wanted to do. You know, they just wanted him to say, flee into Egypt. That's what they wanted him to say, and they would have been all for that. Go to Jeremiah chapter 43 and verse 1. Jeremiah 43 and verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him that to them, even all these words. And I love how he keeps repeating that. He's like, you sent me to ask what he wanted you to do. He's like, I just want to remind you that you sent me to do this, right? You asked me to go ask him what to do. And it just repeats it. Even the narrator's like, when he came back to tell him what they sent him to go ask for. And it says, then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan the son of Kareah, all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Barak the son of Neriah setteth thee on against us. Man, what did Barak do? He's like, he's setting you on against us. He's, you know, Barak, the scribe, man. He's a bad dude. He's coming after us. It says, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. So I love that story because it really just shows you, like, you preach a message and you say, do this, and you're like, I want to know what God says. And then it's just like, you hear what God said and you're just like, no, that's not right. It's like, why'd you ask? You ever get that where, like, people ask you advice and they don't take it? They're just like, they're like, what do you want me to do in this situation? You're like, well, this is what I think you should do, and this is the reason why, and they do the complete opposite. They're like, because really, a lot of times when people are asking their advice, they already have made up in their minds what they want to do, and they just want you to validate it, okay? And it's exactly what they wanted. In their minds, they're like, we need to flee to Egypt. We need to flee to Egypt. Let's ask if that, let's see if that's what the Lord wants us to do. Let's validate this and see if this is right. And then the Lord says, don't flee into Egypt, stay here. And they're like, no, that's false. No. Because remember, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In Zedekiah, it seemed wise to flee and that you'd maybe save your life. But if he would have stayed, him and his whole house and Jerusalem would have been spared. And same thing here, if they just would have listened to the Lord, they would have been spared. Now go to Jeremiah chapter 44. And really, Jeremiah 44 is where you kind of end all the stories, okay? Because Jeremiah 45, it's like Jeremiah talking to Barak, and then you get into, like, the visions against Egypt and the visions against these other nations going on to the Babylon. And chapter 52 is really just a recap of Jerusalem being destroyed, okay? It's really about Zedekiah and Jerusalem being destroyed and Jeconiah being lifted up, okay? That's how the book of Jeremiah ends. So really, chapter 44 is kind of the end. Jeremiah 52 is a recap of stuff that you've already seen. Jeremiah 44 and verse 11, it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts. So they're in Egypt, okay? They flee into Egypt, and Jeremiah has been taken with them, okay? I don't know why, but I just keep thinking Jeremiah's like, man, I should have went when you use our ad. Now I'm in Egypt. Like, it just keeps getting worse. Everything, it just keeps going downhill, and there's less and less of them. Like, they keep getting taken away more and more and more. And it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah that I have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest, by the sword and by the famine, and they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah to the which they have desired to return to dwell there. For none shall return, but such as shall escape. Okay. Now it's going to clarify that. Go to verse 27. So he's basically saying everybody that went down to Egypt, pretty much everybody that goes down is going to die. Okay. So imagine after Jehoiakim and the captivity, saying, wait, pretty much all the noblemen, all the people that knew what to do about anything, was taken captive into Babylon. They were left with this small remnant. Then Zedekiah rebels. Even more people are taken out. And then they're left with just a small group of people. And even by their own admission, they're like, there's just a few of us. There's just a small remnant of us. And that little small remnant disobeyed and went to Egypt. And he's like, I'm going to destroy the rest of you. And he said, except such as shall escape. It says, verse 27, behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah. And all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall not know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs. And that's pretty much how the story ends, you know, with Jeremiah. And it's just like worse, 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 worse. And in the end, he's just like, there's only going to be a small number that's going to come back to Jerusalem. And that's that small number that's left when you get into Ezra and Nehemiah and when they're coming back into land. That's just like the stragglers, if you will, that escaped out of that. And I love how that ends there, where he's just like, you know, you're going to know whose word stands, mine or theirs. Because everything that God said would happen, happened. And they would not listen to it. This is also the chapter you deal with the Queen of Heaven. You know, when they were baking cakes to the Queen of Heaven. And they're like, they were in Egypt. And they're like, we're baking cakes to the Queen of Heaven. Because when we were baking cakes to the Queen of Heaven, everything was great in Jerusalem. And Jeremiah's like, that's why you were destroyed. It's just unbelievable that the logic that they were using there. They're like, oh, you know, we didn't. Yeah, everything was fine and dandy when we were baking the case of the Queen of Heaven, so we're going to keep doing it down here in Egypt. And Jeremiah's just like, where's a wall that I can smash my head into? Because it's just like they just don't get it. They don't understand that that's the reason you're even there. That's the reason that all this stuff happened. And anyway, so I hope that helps with the timeline, okay? That you have Josiah and one of his sons, right, Jehoahaz. They set him up, but he is quickly taken out of the way, taken into Egypt, and Pharaoh Necho sets up Jehoiakim. And when you're in Jeremiah, that's who you're really dealing with, and a lot of this is Jehoiakim. Before they go into captivity, he's preaching to Jehoiakim and saying, you know, you need to get back to the Lord, you need to obey the Lord, or you're going to be taken captive. Then after Jehoiakim, Jeconiah is taken captive, and Zedekiah, Jehoiakim's brother, set up to be king during the captivity. Jeconiah rebels. And the whole city is completely demolished. The house of the Lord is burned. And all of his sons are killed in front of his eyes. And then his eyes are put out. That's how Zedekiah ends. And then they set up Gedaliah. And there's this whole, feud between him and Ishmael. Because Ishmael's like, I'm of the seed royal. He didn't say that. But I'd imagine that's probably his motivation. I'm of the seed royal. And he takes out and murders a whole bunch of people. They're afraid, you know, Johanan comes in, kind of saves the day and gets Ishmael out of the way. But then they're all afraid that they're going to be destroyed by the king of Babylon. They're like, no, we want to hear the word of the Lord. No, we don't want to hear the word of the Lord. We're going to Egypt. You literally could have taken that whole chapter and be like, we're just not going to do that. And so I feel like Jeremiah has to feel God's pain a little bit in the fact of how people are just like, tell me what you want, Lord. Tell me what you want. I ain't doing it. You know, like, it's just this whole thing. Like, I want to know what you want me to do. I want you to know what I'm going to do it, whatever it is, good or bad. Oh, it's bad. I don't want to do it. And just constantly over and over and over and over again in the Bible, that same type of thing. And so I hope that gives you an understanding of the overview of time events in Jeremiah. We'll do one more sermon on Jeremiah because I want to get into some prophecies that come out of Jeremiah. I think that's the fun stuff, really, when you get into Jeremiah as far as what did he prophesy that was in the New Testament or that was to come and just see how that correlates and all that. So, the prophet Jeremiah, I'm spending time on this, honestly. It's twofold. I want you to know it, but also I feel like I need to know Jeremiah a little more, so I'm just kind of sticking in there and just studying it out, looking at some passages and stuff like that. I was probably only going to do a two-part sermon, but I was just seeing so much stuff. I just really wanted to kind of solidify and help everybody understand. And so hopefully that's the case. So let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and thank you for your word. I just thank you for the book of Jeremiah. It's just such a deep book and definitely a big book. But Lord, just help us to take these stories that are in the book of Jeremiah and these prophecies and all these warnings, Lord, that you pronounced back in the day. Lord, help us to heed those warnings and not be like them, and not be like Johanan and those in Jerusalem that said they wanted to hear the word of the Lord, but they ultimately didn't want to hear it. And Lord, just pray that you'd help us to obey your word and to be glorifying to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So Brother Dave will come and sing one more song, and then we'll be dismissed.
All right, song 321 in your songbooks. Song 321, if I can turn there. We will sing it. We'll sing Where He Leads, I'll Follow. If you would stand. Song.